Welcome to episode one of Brad and Will Make a Tech Pod, period.
We're making a tech pod?
We're making a tech pod, Brad.
I'm going to emerge from my tech pod fully formed.
If I can blast out of a pod one time in my life, I'll consider it fulfilled. I'm Will.
I'm Brad.
Hello.
We're making a podcast.
I know. We did an episode that you haven't heard because we didn't tell anybody about it.
Have they not heard that one?
Well, it's on the feed.
Oh.
And it's on iTunes. But we're not. I didn't tweet about it, I don't think. Maybe I did. Who knows?
Somebody's going to work backwards.
Yeah.
Discover all of our dark secrets. Yeah,
they can find out the origin story. But this week, it's a big news week.
Brad. Yeah.
Yeah. So
as I learned about 12 hours ago.
Yeah, you're really dialed into the tech news scene. I can tell.
This one really snuck up on me. Well, I'll let you say what it is, and then I will tell you how they've all kind of run together for me at this point.
Well, first, we should probably say what the show is.
Okay. And it's about tech. There you go.
Yeah, it's tech. A tech podcast with two middle-aged white guys, and we're going to cover...
Radical innovations in the podcast space.
There is a radical innovation.
Okay.
Instead of being about every topic of the week, we're just picking one.
That's about a topic.
One topic.
Okay.
This week's topic?
Uh-huh.
New iPhone launch.
Oh, okay.
Apple keynote. Tuesday.
Get down to the iPhone. Maybe as a little aside about, I think, what I assume we want to do with this podcast. I mean, this week we have a ton of just newsy stuff to cover.
Usually.
But normally, I think we would kind of deep dive into stuff a little more.
Yeah, I think that's
so
fair.
Like,
this is just a normal-ass tech podcast.
Right,
this week.
Right. We're just kind of, because there's just a lot to get through.
Maybe this should be episode zero.
So yeah, it snuck up on me because I don't think about the iPhone events anymore, because what is there to think about? I'm sorry, that's a very negative way to start this.
No, but I mean, this is the point where the devices are kind of iterative.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot that's new. I have an iPhone 10 that's now 2 years old, and
even that, like, there were some kind of significant upgrades, but I feel like we hit the plateau even before that.
I'm probably okay. Yeah. The significant upgrade there was, hey, there's no buttons on the face and it's edge to edge, which
really
I like.
An upgrade?
I think.
Is it really?
I love the notch. I know you're a notch hater.
Man, I hate the notch.
You just have to learn to live with the notch.
I explicitly bought an iPhone 8 after the 10 was out.
You got the button.
That's how much I hate the notch.
Wow.
So you know what I want? A rectangular screen with square corners. Sharp, right angles.
Something pointy. You need a Windows phone.
Maybe. I used a Windows phone.
I did for a while. It was a fine phone.
It was okay.
So Apple announced 3 new iPhones.
Yeah.
A new human cost iPad. Starts at like $350, $380, something like that. Mm-hmm. New services.
Yep.
Apple Watch Series 5.
Right.
We're going to talk about it all.
Yes.
In 45-ish minutes.
Okay. Yeah, starting now.
Okay, so iPhone 11. This is the entry-level iPhone. I'm gonna they make you wait to get all the way to the end with all the bullshit. It starts at $700.
Which is, I believe, cheaper? It's like $50
cheaper.
It's
$50 cheaper, than the iPhone XR, which was the previous entry-level iPhone.
Seems like the big news this year is that they just kind of renamed the product line. They recentered the product line.
Like,
It's the same 3 models. They've just moved where the baseline is.
And they made them all iPhone 11s now. So this is iPhone 11, 1.1, not XI, because that would be really dumb.
Yeah.
It is an A13 processor. It has the LCD-ish screen from the last generation, it seems like.
We're talking about the flat basic 11.
This is the flat basic 11.
Right.
It seems like a pretty good phone. They're adding dual cameras as the big upgrade if you were an iPhone XR person previously, which means that you get a wide-angle camera and a normal focal length camera, and it can use them both simultaneously, which is kind of new. I mean, it kind of did that before, but the big shift seems to be that with all three of these new phones. Previously, when you were shooting video on the iPhone 10, you had to choose which camera you wanted before you started recording.
Was that not still the case?
Video. It seems like that might not be the case anymore.
Some of the stuff I read, like there is a camera view where it shows you kind of both views at the same time, and I think you can still manually pick which one you want to shoot.
That is an app, and that is rad. So that's on the higher end phones. I don't know if it's on the 11.
Okay,
but
with the
pros, you can shoot from two cameras at once. So you can shoot a wide and a close-up at the same time on the same device. Or
I think this was just letting you select, like, here's what both cameras can see. You can pick which one to shoot.
So that's something that I think Bionic has always done. Bionic is the name of the app. It's like for filmmakers to choose which lens they want to use to choose a scene when they're framing it. The thing that blew me away on that was that you can actually shoot the selfie camera, the forward-facing camera, and the other person camera. So like you could record an interview.
Oh wow!
Like we could record a podcast with just a phone stacked up between us.
That's too much.
Nobody should do video podcasts.
I just caught this video presentation over somebody's shoulder, but did I see they were demoing like shooting a musical performance with an iPhone?
They did that.
Like are they basically just turning this thing into like a pocket sized production studio? Is that where they're? Well, I mean it's called a Pro, so.
Well, so that was with the Pro.
It needs to be professional, I guess.
Yeah, I mean look, they've always done that. Like this is the same thing that they always do. They give the iPhone to a bunch of really talented professional photographers and give them $10,000 or whatever amount of money and say, go out in the world and take some awesome photographs. And then they come back and they take awesome photographs. If you give those same cameras like a janky 1990s style, like disposable wind-up camera with the plastic lens and all the badness, send them out in the world, give them a budget to go someplace awesome, they're going to take awesome photos.
Back a pretty good photo.
Yeah. It's like the real test is to give it to my six-year-old and be like, hey, can this make the six-year-old photos look good? And yeah, it's up and down. Same thing with the video. Like they had the iPhone mounted on a dolly and they were trucking in and out, doing all sorts of like really beautiful movements. And it looked great. The video looked terrific.
I guess I'm kind of surprised that the cameras are still the point of innovation with these things.
It turns out the cameras are why people upgrade the phone.
Well,
like at this point, we've seen enough people to like leading with cameras first when they introduce new hardware, both on the Android and the iOS side. There is substantial market data. Sure. I've not seen it. There is substantial market data that says the only reason people ever buy new phones is because of the camera.
Also, it seems like there was just a way higher ceiling for things to improve there, right?
Because
like software performance is fine and has been for what, 3-4 years at least? Like the phones are fast.
So
like a faster CPU doesn't really move the needle for anybody at this point, right?
I think that's fair. Like, I think that's exactly right.
You know, like kind of flash in the pan stuff like 3D touch doesn't matter to anybody. Like I guess the camera is really the only thing that most people see like a tangible benefit from, right?
Once the screen,
I guess AR maybe a little bit, but even that is a camera.
Well, they didn't talk about AR today at all, which is really interesting because that to me says,
oh, that's right, because it was a big focus last time, right?
Maybe all of their AR stuff is going into a different device, not the phone right now.
Huh. Oh.
It seems like the camera lenses are bigger, like there's more glass, which will have a definitive improvement on the image quality.
Boy, that camera hump is a sight.
Look, they're machining that back glass now, Brad.
Yeah.
I assume that stuff explodes. I can't even imagine. Machining glass seems really scary.
Yeah.
But it's still the same basic design as the iPhone X. All of these phones are. Glass back. The 10 might have a stainless back. It's machined glass as well. Yeah.
I think I saw that it's... what was the term they used? It's basically not polished glass anymore. It's like a matte glass, that's somehow more durable.
It's less likely to slide out of your hands. I don't know if you've held an iPhone X without a case on.
Yeah, I've got this 8 that's got the same back on it.
Does it have the glass back? No, it has an aluminum back, doesn't it?
No, it's got the glass.
Oh, yeah.
The 8 did.
Yeah, so it's the stainless steel frame with the aluminum back. So the 11 is an aluminum band. The 11 Pro is a stainless band around the edge. So it's shinier.
Oh, sure.
Shinier metal.
Right.
It starts at 64 gigs for the 11 stock.
They're still doing that thing.
I think that's the right spot. Like 64 gigs seems like, look.
Well, it's more that flash memory is so cheap that they could easily start at 128, right?
Well, so the bummer is there's no 128 gig model anymore.
That's what they've always done that. They've always skipped a notch.
Well, they didn't always, but in recent memory, yes.
For a very long time.
So it's 64 gigs, which is a decent base model, I think. I think even if you're shooting 4K video, if you're using like a cloud service for your backup of your photos and video, that's not going to matter.
Yeah.
You're not going to fill that thing up. I can take a 64 gig iPad and load up all the movies and stuff I wanted and go on an airplane, right? It's no big deal. It jumps from there to 256 and from there to 512. And it's a $150 bump from $600 for the 64 gig to $750 for the 256 gig, which seems substantial.
Yeah.
So now that's kind of it. Like there's not a ton going on there.
I don't know what I was hoping for. Like I said, I barely pay attention to these events now because they're all the same and have been for, like, I guess OLED screens a couple years ago were a big deal, but, like, before that, when was the last time an iPhone was super exciting?
Well, so these, I don't think that this is the OLED screen. I need to look that up and see. But
in the new ones?
In the 11. Pros. The 11 Pro is definitely an OLED screen. Yeah. The 11 is probably an LCD still.
So, I mean, that's like kind of the big story to me is that they've just changed which one is the entry-level phone versus which one is the budget phone versus which one is, you know what I mean?
Well, they just changed the name.
Right,
the
because last time it was 10 and 10S. Last time it was 10S and 10S Max.
And then 10R.
And then the 10R came out. Yeah. But like, what does that mean to the average person when they hear 10R? Like, it's meaningless, right?
Well, so that's exactly it.
It was the budget model, but they didn't actually explain that in the name.
Well, so now the entry-level phone has the same name as the high-end phone.
That's what I mean. Like, just unified name. The baseline phone is the one with the plain name.
They should have just called this one the iPhone and started with one again.
Sure.
That's the joke.
I'm going to try to resist saying this all the time, but Jobs never would have allowed this.
I mean, on one hand, as somebody who likes to act like an egalitarian on occasion, I feel like it's good that they're selling products that aren't like that when they went to $1,000 base price for the good phone.
Oh, I just mean he never would have allowed this messy naming convention that.
Well, this they tightened it up with this.
Oh, no, it's better now. I'm just saying he never would have allowed it to be that messy in the first place.
I feel like that's probably true. Yeah,
like there's an inelegance to. I feel like there's an inelegance to a lot of what Apple does these days that wasn't there before.
It's. I mean, it's also doing a ton more products. Like it's messy because there's like, if you think about like iPhone 4 launch. It was one device in one color. You could get any color you wanted as long as it was black.
Sure.
I think they rolled out white with the 5.
Okay.
And then that doubled the number of SKUs they had.
And then, like, then the Plus came along at some point.
They did the big boy.
Like, I also feel like Max is a weirdly...
Max is an unfortunate name.
Yeah.
I mean, shout out to our friends named Max, but I feel like the Max as a, hey, this is the big boy.
Right.
Is weird. I feel like Plus was pretty good.
It feels kind of discordant to me with the image they try to project of being like a, I don't know, a Rolex or a Mercedes, like a premium goods company. You know what I mean?
I mean,
like a high class lifestyle kind of brand.
Kind of
like to call a thing like the Max is just.
I mean, I just called when I had a big one of the big ones. I just called it the Duke. That was my name for the phone.
Well, that's your iPhone headcanon. That's different.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like...
I don't know, or like something like that makes me think of like jumbo laundry detergent or something.
Yeah, it does have like a Mr. Sparkle kind of shine to it.
Yeah.
So the thing about it is, at least you know that that's the big one. Like Plus and Pro both indicate that it could just be better.
Yeah.
Whereas Max is undeniably large.
That's fair.
I like that they're doing colors again, and they're doing the anodized aluminum colors. So there's purple, white, yellow, green, red, and black.
Wow.
And it's the purple looks good.
Mm.
The green
purple always looks good.
The green on the Pro is like a dark green. It looks almost black. I want to see that one in person.
Okay.
I don't think I'm buying any of these phones for the record.
Yeah.
I think I'm probably good.
I think I'm good also. Why? What's the point?
They made a point to talk about spatial audio using fat sound fields for watching movies without headphones on. Mm. Which I have to say that like the sound on the iPhone X and the iPad Pro 12-inch, the square-edged one, is astounding. Like, it's super-duper good. So if they can get some of that in there, I guess that's fine. I feel like adding the wider camera... So on the iPhone X, they did a telephoto camera and a wider-angle camera. So you had, like, a way to do close-ups and a way to do closer ones, wider shots. I'm kind of stoked that they're switching for a wide because I feel like I use wides... Like, the experience with shooting a telephoto on an iPhone is always bad. And I feel like the experience with shooting wide-angle on, like, a Pixel or something like that has been really nice in that, like, if you want to do a selfie with five people and you hold the phone out like this and you can get all five people in the shot without having to use a tripod or recruit some stranger to shoot the picture, stuff like that. I think that's a good change.
Sure.
Other than that, I'm, like,
very iterative.
Yeah, very much so. And it was also telling to me that they're keeping the iPhone 8 around. So the iPhone 8 is still going to be around. It's at a much lower price point for people presumably who want the button. I have to assume maybe there's some like people who can't have cameras on their phones or something like that still have to have the cameras disabled so Face ID doesn't work for them. Or maybe they just need a phone for the olds who don't want...
such as myself.
Don't want to look at the camera to unlock their phone.
Voluntarily bought an iPhone 8. There were some rumors a while back that they had found a way to... integrate the touch sensor under the screen.
So there's patents about that and from a bunch of different places.
Okay, and that the Touch ID ultimately will come back once they can figure that out?
Maybe. I mean, presumably. So the way it works is that there's a sensor that lives just underneath the surface of the screen, and it picks up the enough capacitance to tell the darks, the ridges and whorls, and all that stuff.
Find enough resolution.
Presumably they're either not happy with it yet, or they think that there's more legs on the Face ID. Mm. And having the ability to do the depth camera stuff seems good. Oh, they did mention that that now they're doing stereo with the multiple cameras on the iPhone 11, which wasn't. I feel like the iPhone XR maybe had that, but the iPhone 8 is a single camera. So you can do portrait mode photos of things that it doesn't recognize as a face. So, for example, Google and Apple have been doing portrait mode on human faces because they can recognize with the machine learning where the face is. And they can cut out, they can say, okay, this is a human face, so let's depth of field out the background, no problem. If you try to do that with your dog on a single camera iPhone, it's not going to work because it didn't recognize the dog. And now with the two cameras, it can just say, okay, you want this in focus and everything else out of focus.
Which computers have gotten smart enough to identify a dog.
No, they're using two cameras, so they don't have to identify the dog. Right. Yeah, life hack. Other thing, this is an iOS feature that's presumably coming everywhere, but if you tap and hold the shutter when you're making a video, taking a photo, it'll just go ahead and turn that into a video. So it'll just keep shooting video. Yep. It's kind of like a natural extension of live video. And this is the first one that has the A13, which is the next SoC from Apple.
Right.
They specifically said it is 8.5 billion transistors. I looked up some other transistor counts, but it's 3 billion for an Intel x86 Coffee Lake CPU, which kind of has a GPU, but not really. So that's a lot of transistors. It has dedicated machine learning models. A controller to dedicate CPU and GPU resources to the machine learning code as needed to not slow down the rest of the machine.
Oh, wow.
So like it can look at the code and say, hey, this part should be running on the CPU, this part should be running on the GPU, and dole it out and pull it back in before the machine slows down.
Are they still at the point where they're claiming like they're doubling performance year over year, every year?
They did not.
They didn't say that this year?
One of the interesting things about this keynote, Brad, is that they did not use any relative measures.
No kidding. Okay, because they've been saying exactly that for a very long time.
So
I guess maybe they kind of...
I would say we're in a situation where that's probably not going to happen so much anymore.
Okay. I figured that had to happen eventually. It didn't seem sustainable.
I mean, it happened on the CPUs a few years ago.
Yeah. Which I don't want to get too far afield of the events of today, but that leads me to ask, like, when are MacBooks just going to start moving to these ARM-based?
Look, in 2013, I predicted when they started making their own SoCs that this is the end result, that their laptops are going to be ARM-based.
Yeah.
It is happening. There's no doubt in my mind.
It can't be that much farther off.
Like, they're positioning iPads against...
Also...
Wintel laptops.
Doesn't the new Mac OS have some kind of iOS compatibility layer?
I don't know about that
already. I thought that was the case.
Maybe.
Because like their new arcade service, the games will run on all their platforms.
But isn't that just a cross-compile because of
They're probably just ported, but I wonder if they're at least starting to lay the groundwork for that stuff.
They've been doing that for a long time. If you look at how... launching the Mac App Store 7 years ago is the beginning of the groundwork for that because it means that they can then... either force people to cross-compile for all the platforms when they want to submit their apps, or, just automatically have it happen.
So do these, real tangent here, but do these SoCs scale well to higher clock speeds? If you're able to throw more voltage at one of these things and better cooling, can you...
I mean, it's like anything else. But the benefit of the idea is that this is performing as well as they've reached a point where they're performing comparably to low end mobile chipsets now, especially if you factor in GPU performance. So if you're doing stuff that requires, 3D acceleration on the desktop, like video, say 4K video playback or any modern web renderer uses 3D accelerators at this point, right?
They've got all that stuff handled.
They've got all that stuff handled and built in because they can control. They control the whole thing, right? So they're not reliant on Intel's crappy GPUs to get games running on MacBooks like they are now. They can just say, "Look, we want this GPU to kick ass," and they do that. And they did talk about performance. It's faster, yada yada yada. Yeah. But the performance on mobile right now is such that. Qualcomm and Samsung have lagged behind so far what Apple's been able to do over the last two or three generations that like the thing that they're beating is last year's iPhone processor, not the latest Qualcomm 945 or whatever it is.
Right.
They also have machine learning matrix multiply. So a lot of machine learning algorithms use matrix multiplication, and they have dedicated slots on the SoC for that, which looked like maybe somewhere between 5% and 10% of the overall SoC if their map was they didn't say it was accurate, but if it was, then that looks like about the size of the die, which is a ton.
Yeah. Did they give any examples for how that would be applied?
It's like the face recognition.
Okay.
The focal plane stuff, all of the Siri voice recognition, I have to assume uses that stuff at this point. Probably even down to stuff like how they, if they're filtering email with that now, which isn't out of the question. I don't know if they actually are, but my assumption is it's being used everywhere. There's also third-party apps can have access to it because there's APIs that they announced at WWDC to tap into that stuff. They're claiming that the battery for this is 4 times better than the iPhone XS. That's for the... that's the 11 Pro. That's what I wrote down.
Was it? I thought I read it was 4 hours longer.
4 hours, yeah. I wrote four better, so you're right. It is 4 hours.
4X, I will go buy one immediately. That's insane.
If it's a four-day battery, I'd be right there.
There some kind of optimization going on around that?
So
around energy usage?
Part of it's the screen, it seems like.
Okay.
And then part of it's just the normal, every time we do a new CPU,
a pretty big bump.
Yeah,
4 hours is not nothing.
I think the phone's a little bit bigger. I didn't actually look at the specs, but it looks to me like the whole thing's just a little bit larger,
a little chunkier.
So that's kind of the 11.
Okay, one last question.
Yeah,
when is the notch going away,
dude?
You gotta stop
with this notch business.
Are they at least working actively on eliminating it?
I don't.
Do you think there is R&D going on somewhere at Apple to remove, like, because what is it? It's the front facing camera.
Yep.
There's probably
the ear hole.
Of course.
There's a couple of microphones.
Well, I think that can be hidden.
There's an illuminator. I feel like, look, you got to stop worrying and love the notch, man.
I really like the pixels.
It has lovely round curves all around. It's round all
the
way.
The pixel, there's a nice symmetry to the way their screen is uniform.
Well, one of the pixels has a bad notch, though, has a real fat, chunky notch.
Oh, maybe it's
notch.
The newest one? I don't know which one I was looking at. I don't keep up actively with that stuff. I don't know if it was the...
I don't like the Samsung phone that has the hole.
Hmm.
It just has like a hole where the camera is. I find that very disconcerting.
One of the flagship Android phones I just saw, which I'd swear was one of the newest Pixels, had no notch and just was kind of the same uniform shape on both ends.
Well, so there's no Pixel 4 yet. They haven't announced that
so
yet.
I think, so I want to say stuff was leaking.
There's the Pixel 3 and 3 XL don't have any notches because they have a bar on the
top.
That
must be what I was looking at.
But I think the Pixel 3a has a notch. I'm not sure.
I'll stop asking about the notch for now.
It's okay. The notch, I was worried about the notch. I was ready to return the phone if the notch was bad. I stopped caring about the notch about 3 hours in.
3 days, but...
Do you know what the weird thing was about going to the notch phone? Is when they added the thing where you swipe from the top right corner to pull down the control center, I started wearing out the top right corner of the case because I pull down. You do that so many times a day.
Huh.
Yeah. It's an inconvenient motion. Anyway. So iPhone 11 Pro, it's the same stuff. It's the A13 CPU, SoC. They're relabeling the OLED panel because the contrast ratio and the brightness are better. And now it's the Super Retina XDR display. It has a 2:1 contrast ratio, which means that the blacks are really, really... When you need to have blacks that are really, 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 really black.
Utter absence of illumination.
Complete darkness. You can do that. Let's see. That's it. The battery's 4 hours better than the iPhone XS, which kind of people said didn't like the battery too much. They showed a deep fusion computational photography thing that is a beta or not happening at launch, where they take all three inputs from all three cameras and then use math and machine learning and neural science nonsense to make the picture look really, really good. Like super focused
just
on
assembling
like,
it from components from each photo.
Yeah. They
did the most focused parts of each one.
They showed a guy, with like a knit sweater, cable knit sweater and like a really dense beard. Whole thing was in focus.
Something that would traditionally confuse the hell out of.
Yeah. And probably also jack up, the image compression. So it was like working within all the, it seemed like it was working within all the constraints. The big deal is the third camera. So the three cameras are, the normal wide angle, which is a 26 millimeter equivalent f1.8 stop, so nice depth of field, really wide open aperture. Zoom, which is a f2.0 equivalent, 52 f2 stop, 52 millimeter equivalent, and the ultra wide, which is a 13 millimeter equivalent, f2.4, with 120 degree field of view. And between the three cameras, they're now saying you get about a 4x optical zoom. And it seems like you can, it merges between them seamlessly. And wow. And
I saw that animation of somebody just sliding the fake dial.
Yeah. So, and when you're looking at like one of the, if you're looking at like the zoom, it shows you the wide, like grayed out, like the part that's not going to be in the shot grayed out. I'm surprised they aren't just taking all three pictures every time because space is cheap. They want to sell bigger phones. Why not give you the options? But I understand why they wouldn't do that. It seemed really like that part. It seems like it's very good. So that's
yeah. The thing.
The camera's good. Who for knows?
Now, until they think of another thing.
And they're adding night mode, which is a Pixel feature that's been on Android for a while. But it turns on automatically, which isn't the way. Like you have to select it on Android. And they bracket and combine images from both cameras. From both cameras on the 11, presumably all three cameras on the Pro, to fuse them together, and it reduces blur and motion by looking at the accelerometer and all the other stuff that it has access to.
What's going
to
happen decades from now when our record of this period of history exists in perfect, utter clarity? You know? Mm-hmm. Like, viewing history through the lens of, like, bad 16mm film and, like, warping, like, you know, decaying VHS tapes and like, you know what I mean?
Well, just
like
just,
there's a feeling of peering back through time to a less civilized age when you look at that stuff.
We'll have that because like people have all the terrible Instagram filters that they use on all their pictures and like everything's bad digital zoom now. Yeah. Like we have a distinct look. We still have a feel.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
So that's iPhones. They ship September 20th.
Yeah. Oh, ship?
That's what they said. You can order them on
sooner,
Friday.
Right?
This Friday you can pre-order, and I think they ship on the 20th.
I think it used to be a matter of weeks, right?
But that's 2 weeks from today.
Oh, I mean like 6 weeks or more.
Oh, no, it's always been 2 weeks. Announce it, you order it the next Friday, and then you pick it up the Friday after.
Maybe it was just one or two generations. I feel like there was a long delay.
So the very first one, they announced it, and then it was a long time before they started selling it because they didn't have anything in the market. They always roll them out really fast so that they don't. Because there's basically the time between they announce a new one and the time when the new one ships, they're going to have no like disinterested customers coming in and buying iPhones,
yes.
Which is, I assume, a significant portion of their audience.
That's fair.
But yeah, so today's the 10th and the 20th is 10 days from now. So that's right.
That's a lot of talking about phones that inherently I feel like just aren't all that exciting.
It's one of those things that's always like little tiny steps forward.
Yeah, nice iterative improvements, but...
But yeah, at the end of the day, like they're not changing the world.
Are phones ever going to change the world again? Or like that happened already, right?
I think they're going to stop being phones and start being something else before they change the world again.
Hmm.
I mean, what would change the world is having it like something that's a different form factor. So, like, if you're talking about something that's like a cylinder that you pull the OLED screen out to look at when you want to use your phone.
Okay, sure.
Like, you know, something that we haven't imagined yet. The folding phone that Samsung's now actually going to... They sold it and they didn't sell it and now they're selling it again. And they've changed the screen protector. Did you hear about this last year?
Vaguely.
So they released a phone that was folding. They
Oh, yeah. I saw the hubbub around all the malfunctioning.
It had a flexible piece of glass on the front that was part of the physical screen.
Right.
But it looked like one of those screen protectors that you get when you get a new phone. So about half the people pulled it off.
Okay.
And in doing so, just fucked up the phone beyond all recognition.
So it was not the phone's fault.
Yeah, it's kind of
well,
the phone's
it was
bad design. It was
poor design. Yeah,
I would say. Okay. I would say it was a sketchy design.
Okay.
You want to take a break and talk about iPads and Apple phones?
Cool our jets a little bit.
Apple watches.
We get into the rest of the stuff.
Okay. We'll be right back. Hey, we're back.
Yep. I'm ready to watch.
Your chili. Ooh, good segue.
Oh, man, I didn't know you were going to talk about the chili.
Oh, man, this chili smells so good. I can't not talk about the chili.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
That's what we get for recording at dinner time.
Hey, look, this is a double podcast day for you. You're doing the hard, heavy lifting here.
That's right.
Okay, so watch an iPad. I think we should do watch next.
Yeah, like amazingly, the Apple Watch seems to be the most interesting thing today.
As somebody who burned himself by buying an Apple Watch Series, now the Series Zero, the one that they don't even acknowledge existed anymore.
What did they actually call it?
Series Zero. They just called it the Apple Watch when they released it. They're like, here's a $10,000 gold watch. You're going to use this for the rest of your life. And then it was like end of life 3 years later.
Yeah.
not bitter. This new one actually seems good. The Series 5, it's a little bit bigger. Comes in a bunch of colors. They're adding titanium. The ceramic is back.
Yeah.
Aluminum starts at $329.
Oh, really?
Sorry, $399, right, for yes. GPS models.
Yeah.
$500 for cellular models.
And it has a feature that I didn't know I wanted until I heard about it.
Which is?
It stays on all the time.
Yeah, who knew that having a watch that you can just look at.
Having a watch that you can look at any moment.
I mean, it seems useful.
Yeah. But I guess I didn't realize it was feasible in any sense.
Well, so Android watches have been doing it for years.
Yeah.
I mean, that's literally the only good, having had an Android Wear watch, literally the only thing good about Android Wear watches is that the OLED screens would stay on.
Yeah.
They're using a new, it's not that new, they used it in the last year's watch too, it seems like. It's called an LTPO, a low temperature polycrystalline oxide back.
Sounds
for the display. So it's the thing that sits behind the display and lights up the display. And the benefit seems to be that you can run it at very low refresh rates with a commensurate drop in power. So to recap, OLED screens, if they're showing black, totally off.
Right. Right?
There's no power drawn by those pixels.
No power consumption.
But
unless it's colored.
But as soon as one of the other colors comes on, there's power consumption.
Right.
And this lets them drop the refresh rate when it's in the low power mode so that it only updates a couple times a second.
Which is crazy.
I mean...
But the image still persists on the screen.
The image persists on the screen long enough. Yeah. I think that's really cool. I think that's good. The interesting thing to me was how they positioned this. So, they opened the Apple Watch segment with their normal inspirational kind of bullshit video, but then it turned out to be about people who attributed the Apple Watch with saving their lives.
Yeah. Which sounds like it's actually quietly becoming the sort of most revered feature of the Apple Watch.
It
came out of nowhere. The health stuff seems like it's the thing that has really kind of captured the public imagination.
Hey Brad, do you want to die?
Not especially.
Well, if you buy this watch and you have a heart attack, it might keep you from dying.
Oh, okay.
But in a very carefully worded way that definitely was vetted by layers upon layers of attorneys.
Sure.
They had an older guy who'd been walking or running and passed out and fell, and the watch, if it detects a fall, it will automatically call. You have to turn that feature on.
Wow.
It's for elderly people mostly, I assume.
Yeah, it seems like the risk of a false positive would be pretty high with something.
Well,
it gives you
if you're conscious, it gives you enough opportunity to turn it to stop it.
Sure.
You can always just press and hold the button and it'll do an emergency call, if you're in a position, if you're locked in somebody's trunk or something. It was a very compelling thing, and especially since they added the EKG with the Series 4, if you have heart conditions, if you have atrial fibrillation or something that is potentially life-threatening but infrequent and undetectable unless you're in a hospital or hooked up to an EKG, it seems pretty good. They had a mom who had a pregnancy complication and had to do an emergency C-section, and the watch was like, hey, your heart rate's high and your EKG is weird. You should go to the doctor.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. It has quietly become a reason that I would like to get an Apple
Watch.
Totally.
It's an actual selling point.
Yeah.
Not just I guess that's nice.
Yeah.
That's there. The thing I was going to say is on a normal week, I would want to talk for a while about where the sensors are on that thing. Cause I always figured I always thought the underside of the wrist was where all the really valuable telemetry is available.
So I'm
surprised that at the top of the wrist, it's actually able to collect that much.
What do you mean?
You always check pulse.
Well, but pulse and EKG are different things. EKG is nerve impulses.
Okay.
So it can apparently lift those through the skin. There's conductors on the back of the thing.
Oh, okay.
And it can get those from the skin apparently.
I don't know.
That's hard science there.
Yeah.
That's
the anatomy.
Well, so the thing that was interesting was they talked about the health studies that they've done over the last couple of years. One of which was the heart survey, which they did with, I think, Apple Watch 2, Series 2 and newer owners, where they collected just a ton of heartbeat data from millions and millions of people, and as a result got a really good idea of what, a better idea than we've ever had before, what an average heart rate is.
Is that data collection that people had to opt into?
You had to opt in.
Okay.
You had to actually, I went and actually tried to do it, and then they were like, your watch is too shitty, we can't use you. But you had to sign a normal human study waiver and all that stuff as if you were going to UCSF and participating in a study.
That's the kind of data collection that you can maybe feel good about.
Yeah, and they did, I feel like they made actual promises about not using it for nefarious stuff, which is interesting. They
promised not to funnel it to your insurance company.
I don't know if they did that. I don't remember that part.
I would hope so.
Um, They did say it was going to be anonymized. So, yeah. You know, the normal thing.
Yeah.
They announced two or three new studies and apps. One of them is a hearing study, which means that they're using the microphone. So the interesting thing about the watch, you hit it, is it has a bunch of really interesting instrumentation. There's microphones, there's barometric pressure sensors, there's...
I didn't even know about that.
Yeah, it has that so you can tell when you're going up and down stairs. It has GPS, it has a compass now, so your GPS is going to be more accurate.
Yeah, I read that it kind of basically gives a... there's kind of a rating of confidence along with the compass.
That makes sense.
Like it basically tells you how confident it is that it's accurate at a given time.
Well, like you've walked around downtown and used Google Maps or something and like the compass is going, you walk by a building where there's a giant steel rod.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not going to be so good.
I was just surprised that they're that forthright about that. That like, hey, this thing is not the most accurate and we're going to be honest with you when it's not.
I mean, that's probably a liability situation.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Because, you know...
When it comes to the direction people are walking or let's say maybe incoming weather disasters.
Or you're on a sailboat.
It's useful to be accurate about what's happening.
Exactly. There's a hearing study that they're adding now, which is going to notify you. If you sign up for that, it'll notify you if you're in a room that is loud enough to cause hearing damage prolonged exposure or for short exposure.
Yeah.
There was a thing about tracking women's menstrual cycle.
Hmm.
And then the last one I completely missed, and I didn't go back and look at it because I was doing other things.
It's cool that they're leaning that hard into that aspect of it, though.
It seems good.
It seems like the kind of thing that is really connected with people.
Well, and it's interesting because earlier this week there was information about a couple of Facebook apps that track menstrual cycles, just using that data and sending it to Facebook, which is not at all what you want, I would assume.
Yeah.
Like when you had sex, all that kind of business.
Huh.
So I may be naive here, but I feel like Apple is the one of the big five tech companies that I would actually trust with intimate personal information like that more than the others.
Yeah. I mean, there was the whole iMessage FBI scenario that they...
I mean, they've gone to bat.
Seem to have come out on the right side of.
Yeah. I think that's the big software stuff. The LPTO backdrop seems really interesting if they can do dynamic refresh rates. They said they didn't give a number, but they said all day / 18-hour battery life. And then the rest of the stuff has been there for a while. It comes in aluminum and silver, gold, and space gray, stainless, gold, space black, and polish, which is, I think, just the shiny metal one that I like. There's a titanium one now, which is exciting, and brushed metal and space black. And then the ceramic one, which looks like a future watch and is really cool, but is not worth $1,000.
I was going to say, did they announce that price? Because I started to say, I noted that the prices of the titanium and ceramic were not easy to come by.
They didn't talk about prices much at all.
Which I assume means that they are astronomical.
So the edition watch starts at $800 for the titanium or $1,299 for the ceramic. It looks really cool, though.
Well, I'm sure it does.
You got to think about how cool it's going to look.
And then how cool does your Series Zero watch?
So think about how cool it's going to look in 4 years when you're running the same version of OS for 3 years running.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing to remember.
All right.
They didn't talk about upgrading the CPU this time, so I wonder if they've settled on a.
I feel like I saw that they had.
Oh, really?
They had done so, but I could be wrong.
They didn't talk about it in the keynote.
Yeah.
If they did. Okay, so I just looked it up. It's an S5. It's interesting that they're doing the Sapphire Crystal on the Series 5 GPS and cellular, but not the aluminum.
Hmm.
And I think you have to get cellular if you get anything but an aluminum model, is what it looks like to me.
Is that just better scratch resistance and so forth?
Yeah, so that's
what they use on the camera lenses, right?
It's on the camera lenses. Yeah. If you've ever looked at your phone when it's 2 or 3 years old and it has little micro scratches all over the front of the screen.
You have to tilt it in a bright light to see them.
Yeah. Yeah. The Sapphire lens, my Series Zero, one thing that it's great at, 4, 5, 6 years in, whatever, it's 5 years in, no scratches.
Oh, it's got the...
Yeah, it's got the... So I got the stainless one because I wanted to see how the Sapphire aged specifically. And it has aged better than anything else about that device.
Works as advertised.
The stainless even is all dinged up and the Sapphire is fine.
Yeah.
So so that's it.
So you cannot get that on the aluminum at all?
You cannot get the Sapphire on the aluminum. That's a shame. You have to buy the $500 one, $600 one to get that. Look, if you want a premium product, you have to pay a premium price, Brad. It's a watch. This is an heirloom you can pass down to your child within the next 5 to 7 years at most.
Are we moving on from the watch? Because I have one kind of use case question.
Hit me.
If this is the last
I got watchy else. Topic. I'm watch stuff.
I mean, this is probably old hat for people that have had smartwatches for a while, mm-hmm. but sell or no? Like LTE or no? Like I
So they turned the walkie-talkie thing back on. Do you know about that?
I'm guessing it's some kind of Dick Tracy style thing.
Yeah, you can basically, like, if you're out, if you have your phone with you, you can just walkie-talkie somebody.
Half the reason to get the watch, right?
Yeah, that's the only reason I wanted the Series 4. They had to turn it off because of security stuff for a while.
Okay.
But they turned it back on in April, I think, and it seems pretty good. Like,
okay.
Like that and being able to call from your phone, like there's something compelling about, to me, as the parent of a child, that I often go out on like bike rides with my kid and stuff, not having to take my wallet and my phone.
Yeah.
And still be able to make an emergency call or call Gina if I need to pick up or something like that.
I guess I could see that.
Do you use Apple Pay?
No, but that's kind of part of the reason I want to get a watch, actually.
So I was going to say that, but like...
The Apple Card, the cashback on the Apple Card, if your Apple Pay is pretty good.
That's a whole other topic.
Yeah.
But yeah, I find myself using Apple Pay a lot when I'm out and about doing stuff. Like if we go ride the bikes to get ice cream, they take Apple Pay so I don't take a wallet or anything. I just wear comfortable pants and not have to have a wallet while I'm pedaling the bike.
Yeah.
It's handy.
Yeah.
This one, I don't know if this is a new feature, but this one, when you're swimming, it tracks distance swum.
Wow. Wait.
Which seems like magic.
It's safe to just swim with it now?
Yeah, it's that waterproof.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. I think the 4 was as well.
I figured they were still at the stage of like, yeah, it's mostly water resistant, but like don't dive with it.
No, I'm sure it's don't dive with it.
Well, or you know what I mean, don't submerge it is what I mean.
Yeah, no, they showed a picture of a person swimming.
Even so that is fine, though.
I assume it's totally kosher now. Oh, and the emergency SOS stuff is now international in like 120-something countries, not just the handful that
that's
it was
cool.
Before.
I'm trying to think like on a practical basis how often I would not have my phone with me, and it's not often.
The
watch is functionally kind of useless without a phone, right? If you don't have the cell model.
Well, it'll tell you the time.
And that's
and you
it,
can
right?
use you can listen to music.
Okay.
And it'll like track a workout. And with the GPS models, it'll track a workout and like give you routes, like it'll upload your routes to Strava or Runkeeper or whatever you want when you get back to the home office.
Hmm.
It seems like the question isn't, do you want to pay the extra $100 for the cellular model?
Yeah. Well,
do you want to pay the extra $10 a month to your carrier?
I was going
to
say,
because that's going to add up way faster.
Device fee for having the thing connected.
The one thing I will say is you can often get discounts from your carrier. Like if Verizon wants to sell me hardware because I haven't bought hardware from them in a really long time, and they're willing to give me deep discounts on Apple Watch Series 3s with cellular.
Hmm.
That would probably offset the cost of the first year's service.
Okay.
So, you want to talk about iPad?
Sure.
I wasn't expecting this. I think the rumor sites had this in there, but they are replacing the 6th generation 9.7-inch iPad, the one with the home button.
Which is to be clear, I believe the screen size they've had since
it's the base model.
The iPad was incepted.
It is the default. Is the iPad as iPad.
Right.
Yeah, the one that we took apart in the basement at Whiskey Media.
Right. Like that is the screen
yes.
on the iPad since time immemorial.
So they're replacing the 6th gen with the 7th gen. They're just calling it the new iPad. The display is now 10.2 inches. They made the bezel a little bit smaller. Mm-hmm. It seems they didn't talk about how... It's funny, they didn't talk about how thin anything was today.
Huh.
So that to me says everything must be getting fatter now that Johnny Ive's gone. It uses this one. The big hits on this one are that it has the smart connectors. You can use the keyboard.
Yeah, and the pencil.
And the pencil, but it's the old pencil, not the new pencil.
Okay.
So there's a Gen 1 pencil, Gen 2 pencil. The pros use the current pros use the Gen 2 pencil. The old pros use the Gen 1 pencil, and now this one and whatever the other one they announced a few months ago.
This is getting complicated.
It is getting complicated. It seems nice. They were on the slides. They showed it competing with a Windows laptop, like a cheap Windows laptop.
Okay.
And the price starts at $329, which I assume is for the 64 gig model.
Like that's the actual story, right? That what you're getting for that price is actually competitive now?
Well, so the last one was also $329, so they didn't drop the price, but now it has the smart connector.
Yeah, smart connector, bigger screen, faster.
And pencil support. Yeah. I think all of those are pretty good.
It's starting to pick up some pro features is what I mean, you know?
Yeah, the pro features are filtering down.
Right.
The bad news is the 329 model is only 32 gigs, which is a little bit offensive.
Yeah, I agree.
It's $100 more to go to 128 gigs.
Mm.
Yeah, that seems like, hey, I want something to browse the web and watch video while I'm sitting on the living room and the TV's taken by somebody else.
Sure.
But 300, like this, we shouldn't discount the smart connector. Adding keyboard support makes it a viable laptop competitor. Yeah.
Something I meant to mention with the phones and completely forgot.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't expect this to be in this iPad because it's considered a pro feature on the iPad Pro, but the 120 hertz screen.
Oh, is that 120 hertz screen on this?
No, on the Pros it is.
Oh, yeah.
But not on...
It's not on this one.
Not on this.
No.
But I meant to bring that up earlier because in a perfect world, I would have liked to have thought that an iPhone called Pro might also have that feature.
Oh, is it? I didn't even look at that.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't.
Oh, battery life.
Right. Is that why?
Probably.
Okay.
I mean, that thing has a ton of space for battery.
Yeah. Because so I've got not the current iPad Pro, but the 10.5.
It's the first 10-inch
first
iPad
model,
Pro.
The first model that had the 120 hertz screen, and it's night and day. Like, I can never go back now.
I like that
so
a lot.
So nice.
I wouldn't... If they do that, it's probably only going to be in the big boy.
Like, it's just...
Yeah, no, it's really
mesmerizing.
I have a 60 hertz G-Sync monitor at home.
Yeah.
And I'm sad because I wish it was 120 or 144 hertz.
Yeah. And I know, was it Razer or somebody made a 120 hertz phone?
I wouldn't buy that, probably.
No, I'm not saying anybody should buy that. I'm just saying it's been attempted.
Yeah, people have done it.
But I feel like it's telling that they were the only ones that did it, right?
Look, if you're running 60 or 30 hertz on the phone screen most of the time and you go up to 120, you're doubling or quadrupling your battery drain.
Yeah.
Which seems like a lot.
That's fair, but God, it's so nice.
I think that's it on the iPad.
Yeah, it's a pretty minor thing. I mean, it's nice that the low.
I was surprised it was only an A10, since the Mini is an A12 now.
Yeah.
CPU, SoC, and then the other stuff they talked about as we wrap it up here. They announced dates on TV, Apple TV Plus, which is their TV service, and game service, which
Apple Arcade.
Apple Arcade. They're $5 each a month. Games launches next week. I think week after next on September 19th, probably when the next iOS launch happens, if I had to guess.
I think that is announced, actually.
Oh, okay. They didn't talk about the keynote, but I assume it's sometime between now and when the hardware ships.
I'm pretty sure I saw the 19th.
And then the TV Plus, Apple TV Plus launches on November 1st.
Okay.
They showed a couple of games. They showed Frogger City or Frogger. That game looked terrible from Konami.
Yeah.
They showed a Capcom like side-scrolling 2D Subnautica type game that looked kind of interesting and weird.
The only thing I care about is a new Choo Choo Rocket.
Oh, they announced a new Choo Choo Rocket?
They announced a new Choo Choo Rocket.
What?
The first new Choo Choo Rocket game perhaps since 1999 or 2000.
Wow. Was the last one on Xbox when it re-released it for Xbox 360?
It's always just been re-releases of that same game.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, on GBA.
Yeah.
And
360. It was at 360 Arcade, wasn't it?
It might have been.
Or maybe I'm thinking about every Extend Extreme or one of
maybe.
Those.
Yeah.
Or Boom Boom Rocket is what I'm thinking about, which is the fireworks game, which is also dope, but not as good as Choo Choo Rocket.
No. Few things are.
No. That Annapurna Rhythm Racer thing that they showed was pretty good.
That's not Sayonara Wild Horse.
Sayonara Wild Horse, yeah.
Okay, that's also coming to Nintendo Switch.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, I don't know that service. I might try the free month just to fiddle around with some of that stuff.
So the big news... If you buy a new phone, you get the first year free.
Yeah. Was it the case for both arcade and TV?
That part was unclear. I wonder if you have to choose or if you buy a phone and an iPad, does it stack? There's a lot of questions there.
I was kind of shocked by that. Like a free month, of course. Like why wouldn't they give you a 30-day?
I think
everybody does that. A year?
They have Apple. They're okay. They're okay.
I know
on
that.
Cash.
I know that. But I'm just trying to figure out what the business play is there.
They want to get you hooked on it. Yeah. I think. So looking at their TV lineup, especially, I think that they don't have enough stuff to warrant the subscription starting in November, and they're giving themselves a year to ramp that content up.
I see.
Getting that content pipeline going is hard. It's hard for Disney. It's hard for Warner Brothers. It's hard for everybody.
Make sure by the end of the year, it's indispensable.
Yeah, that gives them a year to have a hit that people can't stop watching.
We'll see. No Apple TV update?
No Apple TV. I don't think they need one. 4K.
Yeah, I guess
4K is good.
Yeah.
I mean, the big thing on Apple TV and iOS for games
is the controller.
Is that they're going to have if you have a Bluetooth DualShock or Bluetooth Xbox One controller,
that's huge.
Then all DualShock 4s, the second wave of Xbox controllers.
Here's the flip side of things that Steve Jobs would never have allowed: is that for once they did something good.
I mean, I think this is unequivocally good.
It is. That's I'm just saying this is very un-Apple to allow other company's peripherals to, you know what I mean?
Yeah, without like licensing.
It's like there've been the rumors for years about Apple having a controller in development.
Well, so,
and there's been the M5 stuff, which never really got off the ground.
So I have one of those Steel Series M5 controllers, which is fine, but for console ports it doesn't work because the M5 sticks don't have to click.
Oh.
So that means you end up in a weird situation where you're like doing corded presses.
Yeah.
And also, like, SteelSeries controller is fine, but it's not as good as, you know, Microsoft and Sony put billions of dollars into developing those controllers over the years.
On top of everything else, you just don't want to buy more controllers if you don't have to.
Well, it's a pain in the ass to switch back and forth, though, because you have to sync it every time, and it's like it's not ideal.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I have enough PlayStation controllers floating around that I'll sacrifice one to the Apple TV, no problem.
Totally.
So yeah, this is all happening. Pre-orders have started for some of this stuff. You can order an Apple Watch now. One thing that we didn't talk about, they finally fixed the config. They may have done this before. It's the first time I've looked at it in a while. But they have a configurator now that lets you pick the size you want, and then you pick the finish you want, and then you pick the band that you want.
On the watch? Yeah.
So you don't have to, like if you want a black watch with a white band, you used to have to buy the white band after you bought the black watch with another band that you don't want.
That's terrible.
Yeah, so it's a better consumer experience, cool. I guess. Yeah, that's it.
A minor thing.
None of this stuff seems super necessary.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I don't know, put a grade on today's event. Say, like, a B? A B minus?
I think they had the most diverse group of people that I've ever seen on a stage.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't actually see the stage show. I didn't know anything about their kind of their stage craft.
So, like,
I just meant the product offering.
If we're talking about, like, the actual show, they did a really good job. Yeah. It was a pretty good show. Okay. They're doing this thing that I really like at the end, where instead of just having big bullet lists full of features and stuff, they do a... it looks like one of those listicle things that people always are emailing to you to be like, hey, do you want to... Here's a free listicle that you can put on your site. And like it's just got all the relevant information and a pleasant infographic.
Big snazzy infographic.
Yeah, it was... Then they did those for all the stuff. It was pretty good.
That's helpful.
Yeah, like there's a couple more. You can see them.
Okay.
Like, so
that's a good at a glance. Here's what's new.
Yeah. Like they have ABs. I mean, obviously they're a little bit cooked on like what the wide camera versus the ultra wide lens looks like and stuff like that. But it was pretty good.
Yeah. But just in terms of the products.
Yeah. It's a solid C.
Yeah.
Like these are, this is the first time I've ever had a 2-year-old phone since smartphones became a thing.
Really?
Well, I was reviewing every year.
You came into a lot of phones.
Phones were never... Which phone was I going to have? Never a problem.
Phones were available to you. In fact, I think I even had a phone for a couple of years due to your largesse.
I grabbed one out of the closet and was like, when your phone was broken and embarrassing,
my phone
I was
died.
Like, dude, here you go. Like, you need a phone.
Oh, here, take this Windows phone. And I was like, oh, this thing's not so bad.
Oh, man, I didn't give you a Windows phone. I'm sorry.
You did.
I think I gave you the choice between that and an Android phone. You chose the Windows phone.
I can't remember how that went.
The Android phones at that time, you made the right choice.
Was I able to get achievements on that Android phone?
Yes.
No.
No, that's the thing. You wanted the phone that you could get Hexen achievements
on. That's right.
Or Hexic achievements
on. And I did.
I feel like if this is firmly in the category of if you need a new phone because your old one broke or you just dropped in the lake or something.
Yeah.
Like it's worth buying the new one.
Unless you're poor, one of the poor, godforsaken individuals who prefers the iPhone SE. In which case, good luck. You are
still the same.
Shit out of luck.
Still there. They're still making it.
Like, I mean, I'm sitting here holding an iPhone 8, and they don't even make a phone that small anymore. Much less the SE.
No, they're still selling the 8.
No, I'm saying they don't make new phones in that form factor. Even the...
Well, the 10's smaller than the 8.
No, it's not.
It's about the same size.
No, look at that. No. Hold it up. Look at it.
Well, I have a case on mine. This is some great
podcast. So do I.
Oh, yeah, it is a little bit smaller.
It's like a
phone for babies.
The phones are just getting bigger is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, there's people that still prefer that. What is it? The SE is 4 inches, I think?
Four inch screen? Something like that. This is why we need the Jenko jeans to come back. We need the big pockets.
I just want a reasonably sized phone. That's all I'm asking.
You have a reasonably sized
phone. I know. But once this thing gets too slow.
Do you have a case on that?
Yes.
Okay. It's very small.
It is I believe they bill it as the world's thinnest case.
Does it actually do impact damage or just
Not
scratch?
Not really.
Okay.
It's just for scratches.
Okay. But very good.
I'm very particular about my phone wants and needs.
Brad, you're very particular about it. If one day, so far we've recorded 2 episode 0s.
Uh-huh.
If we release the first one at some point as like a bonus or something, or 1 week when we can't record an episode, we're going to find out how particular you are about things.
People are going to hear the depths of my insanity.
People are going to hear about you and the monitors.
As pertains to buying a new monitor.
Tell me about the monitors.
We're not buying a new monitor for 15 years.
Tell me of the monitors.
They still work.
So that's it, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
We're going to do this every week. That's the goal.
Okay.
I think. I
mean, oh my God. That sounds terrifying.
Well, I mean, maybe we won't. We'll see.
No. I'm up for it.
But if you like it, if you like the podcast, I'm told that putting reviews on iTunes helps.
Okay.
So that would be an awesome thing for you to do.
Do that.
I didn't mean you. I mean, that would be weird if you and I reviewed the podcast.
I'll just use a different name.
People, they always find out.
Nobody will know.
No. Don't do that. It's frowned upon. But yeah, you can find us on all the places that you find podcasts.
Yeah.
And we would like it if you would mash the review button.
That would be swell.
Like and subscribe.
Yeah.
That's what the kids say.
I'll let you do that part.
What? Like and subscribe?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
See y'all next week.